Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
That is the music of a three-time Grammy Award winner. I mean, I don't know how that sounds to the person who actually is a recipient, but it sounds very good for me to say that I'm sitting with a three-time Grammy Award winner, flautist and composer, Wouter Kalaman. Thank you for coming through with your Grammys as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. As you can see, I'm smiling very widely. I think if you took a ruler and measured the smile, it would be a record smile as well.
Sure, they're precious.
Yeah, they're lovely. The third one is still being inscribed.
Yeah.
Because we just won it last week.
Yeah.
And they also don't know who won. You know, yeah. They don't know who when everybody finds out on the day.
The day.
And then it goes and then someone makes them and inscribes them. And then they post it to you a few months later.
Wouter, this feature is called Impact because we like to speak to people who are making an impact. Now, the story behind this particular album, I think, is very, very interesting. You were, alongside your other colleagues, were on a mission to produce music that's healing.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing to achieve.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of been my life. My music has always been about sending positive energy into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so has Eru Matsumoto, the Japanese cellist, and Chandrika Tandon, the Indian singer.
Yeah.
They have been on kind of the same mission. So we decided, let's make an album together that's specifically aimed at creating healing frequencies, healing energy.
Mm.
And we also decided to see what we can do to do some scientific experiments,
yeah,
and prove that the music is healing.
You've done some work before. What will be different this time on those studies?
Yeah, so we had to wait basically for the music to be finished,
yeah,
before we start the proper experiments. But we did do a blue sky experiment last year,
mm,
which is a blue sky experiment is an experiment that's so absurd that you don't accept, you don't expect a result,
mm.
you know. So we played our music to human cells in a petri dish.
Mm.
And we didn't expect a result, and we didn't get a result.
Mm.
So, you know, that was just the start,
mm,
because I think that's a bit of a long shot,
yes,
that experiment. But we thought, let's just do it. You never know,
yeah,
you know, because there are these things called Yamanaka factors,
mm-hmm,
where you can take a cell and put it back, move it back to its stem cell state.
Yes.
And we were hoping maybe the music could help with that process, but so far not, but now we're going to do the proper experiments, and we'll be talking to a few different universities.
If and when that is the intention, do you then produce the music the same way you would have otherwise just been inspired to produce? How would that work?
I think the first step is just to prove scientifically that it is. You know, I think everybody knows music is healing and makes you feel good.
Mm.
But, you know, there's no scientific evidence behind it. So you can't get funding because, you know, it hasn't been proven. So I think that's the first step.
Mm.
And then obviously from then on, it could would be to find out what elements in the music is healing, you know.
So then for all you three composers, how did you then do it this time around?
Well, we just, it's kind of more an instinctive,
okay,
you know, instinctive, and it's something we all three have been doing for a long time. So it's kind of just instinctive, putting music out there that we feel is positive and sharing the positive energy from within, basically.
When I listen to this album, and we'll play some of that music and people can make up their own minds, what I'm hearing are all three composers bringing elements of really indigenous sounds in,
yeah,
the music.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of speaks to the healing element.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been fascinated with the roots elements in music. And the amazing thing that I've discovered over the years is that all cultures and music have a common root.
Mm.
The oldest flute that they know of is 60,000 years old. They discovered this flute. It was made from the thigh bone of a cave bear. And even before that, humans must have been making flutes from reeds, and those reed flutes didn't survive for us to discover them today. But language started about 70,000 years ago. So music and language developed at the same time. Mm. So music has always been an intuitive way of communicating. And although we develop different languages, I think we can across cultural lines, you know, connect with music. And I think this album, it's Japanese, Indian, South African. Yeah. So it just proves that music can link and connect over the cultural and language barriers.
I want to play some more music so that people can hear what we're referring to here as we celebrate your major win. Was it last week?
Yeah.
Have you been able to sleep since?
Not quite. It's been a roller coaster, but one that makes me smile very, very happily.
This one's called Pathway to Light. Now, this is obviously a win in the category of Best New Age Ambient or Chant Album. It's really, I can feel the light.
Yeah.
I can see and I can feel the pathway to light. You know, I just wonder, having started your career so late in your life, was it 44?
Yeah, sort of. I've been playing the flute every day since I was 10 years old, but I took a long detour bringing up kids.
Being a real engineer and other things.
Yeah, I studied engineering at university because I couldn't get a bursary to study music, so I was kind of forced to study engineering, which I also enjoyed. And I ended up spending, because, you know, I tried to swap back to music, but my money would always run out, and my family, I had to look after them. So I was forced to look after them. I wanted to look after them, and I was forced to do engineering because that brought in better money. And I also I didn't want to be away from the kids, so I couldn't travel and tour. So I ended up waiting for 20 years and finally making that transition successfully at the age of 44.
I think that for me is such a powerful statement that, you know, it can be done. So here's a passion you've had since you were 10.
Yeah.
And you just waited. You just waited until the right moment.
That's right. And I kept on practicing every day, and I went overseas to do master classes with teachers. I would allow myself 3 weeks overseas per year, and I would find the best teachers in the world, go study with them, and just develop my craft, you know, over the years.
And having waited so long for something that you've yearned for so long, is it sweeter, do you think?
I think so. It feels, you know, and I think it also makes you work harder if you waited 20 years. You're not going to give up at the first hurdle, and we had many of those. But just the fact that I had been waiting just made me so hardworking and persistent, and it was really difficult in the beginning. Nobody believed that a middle-aged flute player has got any value to bring, and I kind of had to persist, you know. Yeah.
And does it get better with each Grammy, or not really?
Yeah, I mean, the first Grammy nomination was a big step forward, because, you know, like when you apply to play in a festival, for example, people go, oh, this is like a middle-aged flute player, white flute player. It can't be very good. And they don't listen, you know. My first album, after spending years and absolutely perfecting and having it mixed with the best engineer in the world, Husky Hoskins, I flew to LA, mixed it, and I was ready to take the world by storm. And then I posted it to every major label and made appointments, and nobody was interested. And I arrived at the one appointment, and the guy said, "Voter, we love you. We love your music. We think you're amazing, but it's just not our thing." And then I looked on the table, and there was the CD still in its plastic. He hadn't listened.
They had not even listened.
No, he was just
so like, he was just saying it.
He was just saying it to not feel so bad. I couldn't get anybody to listen. But after the Grammy nomination, now I'm applying as a Grammy nominated.
But hold on. Before you got there,
yeah,
you had promised yourself that you do want to be a Grammy nominated artist.
Yeah.
You knew from the word go that this is one of the things you're gunning for.
Yeah, I remember sitting along around the kitchen table with my kids because my daughter just left university, my son left school, and I was ready to go for the music again. And they asked me, what would you like to achieve, Dad? And the first thing I thought of is a Grammy nomination, which is like, I think, you know, it's the only internationally merited award because you voted by your peers, by other musicians. So it's held to very high standards. And the first thing I thought of, and it just seemed like an impossible dream at that stage. But then once I started listening to other Grammy nominated, other albums that were Grammy nominated, I realized I'm in the ballpark, quality wise. And so are many South African. We have got incredible richness of culture and talent here, and people don't even realize it, but they're in the ballpark. It's just a question of making it happen. So we started touring the US and you know, obsessively, because it's not only you have to make the music, but you also have to be known.
But you know, you said people weren't even willing to listen. How did you get them to listen?
It was in the beginning, we found a little company called Master Max who was willing to take a chance on it. And then the album got incredible reviews and the awards started coming in immediately. The first album got a SAMA nomination and the first DVD won a SAMA. And I just started touring and traveling and experimenting, especially in the U.S., because I knew that was, from the beginning, I know my music is very accessible. There's a lot of different elements. It's there's African elements, but there's also, you know, I'm interested in flamenco and tango and Celtic music. So it makes the music. So I knew overseas the music would be understood and accepted overseas. So I, from the beginning, focused on exporting the music as well, not just staying here. And it was just a lot of persisting, basically. It took a lot of work to get people, because it, you know, as a flute player, you ask anybody, do you want to buy a flute CD?
And I mean, I was saying this to you offline that it's very difficult to go against what is the culture of the moment. So there's all this movement around other things. And you winning in the sea of all this other stuff happening is very hard.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I feel if you make music, it comes from the heart, and we are obsessive about the quality. You know, I always say that if you can imagine it better, redo it. And that's what I do. There's so many detours and dead ends. You know, you listen to the song you've just listened to and you go, oh, that's nice. But to get there, there was the many abandoned songs, many different versions that didn't make the cut. And so that's I think the first step is just to have that music that you absolutely love, at least.
When do you remember when South Africans started appreciating your music?
It started happening slowly over time, but the Grammy nomination made people sit up and go, oh, let's just check this out at least. And then made people listen, and that made a big difference.
And does it feel different when your own country appreciates your music?
Yeah, it's still the most important for me. You know, I feel at home in South Africa. I love it here. I love our richness in culture. And this is the most important place for me.
When you do get a third Grammy, does it feel the same? Is it as exciting as it was the first time?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's so hard to get one. And it's like having your baby succeed at school. You know? So that's how I feel about it. It's about the music that we worked so hard on, that you created, and to see it fly. And be recognized and be heard. It's just the most satisfying feeling, because you know, you make the music in isolation basically, and you don't know whether what you're putting together is going to be, you know, people listen so differently that maybe you love it, but nobody else likes it.
Yeah.
You know, so you always, that's always in the back of your mind, thinking, okay, well, I'm doing this, but I might be completely missing the the part for the rest of the audience.
So after three Grammys, you still yearn for another one?
I've got a bit of way to go to get to Beyonce.
So that means yes. That's a resounding yes. Well, let me promise you this. If you had started her at her age,
yeah,
maybe you would have caught up by now already.
Yeah, I started like 25 years elder.
Yeah.
But for me, it's about the music. That's what gets me up, you know, in the morning. That's what gets me excited. I think of a concept or a sound, and I want to create it. And then once that starts going, you know, you have to do right by the music by making sure it gets heard.
It's out there, yes.
And that's, you know, there's no point making the music if nobody knows about it.
Yeah.
And in the Grammy process, there are 13,000 voting members.
Sure.
And there are more than 20,000 entries every year.
Oh.
So if you want to be noticed, you know, if nobody knows about it, you're not going to get a vote.
This nomination was tough, was it not, this year?
Yes, all the other fellow nominees were absolutely amazing musicians.
Yeah.
And they're also people who know about the business of music.
Yes.
They're putting their music out there.
Yes.
They all did a great job.
Yeah.
So we really didn't know who's going to win. All five nominees were favorites to the same level. So it just makes it, it was very exciting. Tulsi Pillay, my best friend and business partner, was even more nervous than us. she nearly, I think we had, if we had to wait a little bit longer, we would have had to get the medics out.
She said so. And I mean, it's just incredible. As I said, I mean, it's I cannot imagine whether you know. Even the night before, I said, "Did you sleep afterwards?" The night before must be worse.
Yeah, yeah. The night before the Grammys is the nominees dinner, which is the best moment in Grammy week, because we go for the whole Grammy week.
Yes.
But the nominees dinner is the best time, because everybody is there to celebrate their music.
Yeah.
Because nobody's won yet.
And you're all equals.
Everybody. and everybody's just to take that moment, because to get a Grammy nomination means you're top five in the world in your category.
Wow.
So it's huge. You know, the Grammy nomination is huge. So it's everybody and all my fellow musicians that I know, everybody's there to celebrate music, and it's just an absolutely beautiful moment.
Okay, people need to get the album, because that's the most important thing. And it's called Triveni.
Triveni, yes. And we've got some music videos on YouTube.
Okay.
I actually have more than 100 music videos on YouTube, but these are the latest few. And it's on Spotify and Apple Music and you know, YouTube Music and Amazon, and even on Instagram we post some of the music. So it's pretty easy to find. Just search for my name, Vota Kellerman or Triveni, and you'll find it.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you for bringing your wonderful Grammys to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to leave you with some more of that music from Vota Kellerman, and I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.